Good morning. We'd like to welcome you to our service for May 17th, 2020. For the next few weeks, we're going to be meditating on some Psalms. Our call to worship this morning is taken from Psalm 29. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says, glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Our first hymn this morning is taken from Hymns for the Family of God, as all our hymns are. Hymn number 332, The God of Abraham Prays.
The God of Abraham prays, all praised be his name, who was and is to be always the same. The one eternal God, whose timeless is clear, the first, the last, beyond all thought, throughout the years. His Spirit floweth free, high surging where it will. In prophet's word he spoke of old, he speaketh still. Established is his law, and changeless it shall stand. Now written deep upon the heart, on sea or land. He hath eternal life implanted in the soul. His love shall be our strengthening while ages roll. Praise to the living God, all praise it be his name, who was and is to be always the same.
Our second hymn is hymn number 580, There Shall Be Showers of Blessing.
There shall be showers of blessing, this is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing. Send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing. Come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing. Now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Our third hymn is hymn number 246, The Old Rugged Cross. 256, The Old Rugged Cross.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. On that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, as a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Our salutation comes from Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We're reading from Colossians chapter 3, and I would like you in particular to listen for those things that as God's servants we are to, quote, put off. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you that you are merciful to us, and that we who were dead in trespasses and sins are now alive in Jesus Christ. We ask you, Father, that we would be sensitive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and that we would put off those things that are the fruit of the flesh, that we would put off those things that are evidence of the old man. We ask, Lord, that we would pursue that which is evidence of our righteousness in Christ, that we would put on the new character that we are to have because we are your servants. We thank you that you have given us the indwelling Spirit, that is the one who works in us and through us as we seek to work out those things that are evidence of your transformation from the old man to the new man. We thank you for the expectation of the soon return of our King. In Jesus' name, amen. Also from Colossians chapter 3, listen for those things that we are to put on. And have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Our hymn of response is hymn number 425, Cleanse Me. 425, Cleanse Me. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked
wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify thy name. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in me abide. O Holy Ghost, revival comes from thee. Send a revival, start the work in me. Thy word declares thou wilt supply our need. For blessing now, O Lord, I humbly plead.
Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you that you have called us out of darkness into your light. We thank you, Father, that you have given us all that we need to know for life and for godliness. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, who convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment, who leads us into truth and teaches us to exalt your Son. We thank you, Father, that you have given us the church, that we may be encouraged as we see the day of the Lord approaching, that we may be stimulated to love and to good deeds. We ask you, Father, that we who are part of the body here in Sumas would each of us grow in the grace and knowledge of your Son, and that we would be ambitious to be well-pleasing in your sight, that we would learn to study to show ourselves approved unto you, workmen that need not to be ashamed, that we would learn to rightly divide the word of truth. We thank you, Father, that you have given us the privilege of being priests and kings in your kingdom. May we never forget that we are but pilgrims and sojourners here upon earth, and that our citizenship is in heaven. We ask, Father, that we truly would be lights, that we would be salt, that we would be ready with an answer for every man who may ask us concerning the hope that is in us. And through it all, Father, may we fix our eyes upon Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith, that we would pursue righteousness and flee those temptations that would ensnare and trap us. We thank you for the promise of the soon return of your Son. We ask that we would be always looking forward to his coming, and that we would be ready for his coming. We thank you for these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, There are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied, who hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The psalmist writes, and he says that he has entrusted himself and his hopes into God. This is a confidence that all believers should have, and it should distinguish believers from those who do not believe. As the writer writes, he says, "Preserve me." It's God who preserves us. It's God who supplies all that we need. And God is the one who not only preserves us for this life, but he preserves us for life eternal. The psalmist writes, he says that he is trusted in God. We are reminded in Psalm 118 that we're not to trust in man, that our only trust is in the God who is the Creator and the Redeemer. He is the one who provides for us, who creates us, who redeems us, and who sustains us. The writer continues, and he says that the Lord is, that is Yahweh, is his Lord, which is the one that he is sovereign, and that the writer submits to. And the writer continues by acknowledging that whatever good he does is nothing except that God is involved in his life. Scripture tells us that God doesn't need anything from us. As Job writes, "Can a man be profitable unto God, as he that is wise may be profitable unto himself? Is it any pleasure to the Almighty that you are righteous, or is it gain to him that you makest thy ways perfect? There is nothing. Our righteousness, our goodness, as Isaiah says, are but filthy rags. And the psalmist here acknowledges, "My goodness is nothing apart from the one who is his Lord." And he continues in that thought in Psalm 50, "Even if people did have something to give God, he would not ask for it. As the Lord says, every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof." Jesus incorporates this doctrine in a parable when he speaks of the servants. And he says in Luke 17, "Likewise you, when you have done all these things which are commanded you, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do.'" There is no merit that we can do. There is nothing that we can produce that will provide merit or give us entrance into the presence of God. And the psalmist here acknowledges that. And then he continues reflecting on the saints. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are excellent ones in whom is all my delight. We must remember that we are saints. If you are a child of God, you are a saint. You may recall that when Paul writes the Corinthian church, he calls the Corinthians a saints. He calls the Romans saints, the Philippians, the Ephesians saints. He does not call the Galatians saints. The difference is, in Galatia, the problem was, what is the gospel? What is the nature of the gospel? The other letters included doctrine, but they also were concerned with behavior. And the psalmist here says that the saints are excellent ones, and God delights in them. The psalmist mentions in another psalm that God delights in the death of his saints. When a saint dies, he goes into the presence of God. To be absent from the body is to be in the presence of God. To die is to gain. So we must remember, as we reflect on our fellow believers, that we are all saints in the sight of God. But there are those who hasten after another god. We read something of that in our put off, put on in Colossians chapter 3. Paul writes and he says, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness. All of these things are idolatry. They are other gods. And those who hasten after another god, will have multiplied sorrows. They will not only have multiplied sorrows, but their offerings will be of blood. They will be pagan. And God will not take up their names on his lips. So we must remember, as the psalmist writes, that the saints God delights in, and those who hasten after other gods, God finds to be enemies. The psalmist continues when he mentions, O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. Our inheritance is vested in Christ. And God himself is our inheritance. As he said to Abram in Genesis chapter 15, I am your shield. I am your great reward. God himself gives himself to his saint. And when he gives himself to the saint, then God himself is our inheritance. And God himself maintains us. He continues to maintain us from day to day. Everything works out best for God's people. The psalmist continues with this when he says, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. I have a good inheritance. Everything works out well for the saint. Everything works out well when you put your trust in the God who preserves your soul. Your inheritance is life eternal. This life, as the New Testament tells us, the trials of this life are nothing to be compared to the glories that are ours in heaven. Nothing. And the psalmist understands this when he says, I have a good inheritance. This assurance that the psalmist has through these first few verses
breaks out into joy. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. It's God Himself who provides wisdom and counsel for His saints. Peter tells us that we have all that we need to know for life and for godliness. The psalmist writes in Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man who meditates upon God's law day and night, and he will prosper in everything that he does." God Himself is the one who does these things. He provides stability. He provides interpretation. The psalmist acknowledges this when he says, "I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved." There's a concept in the scriptures that rough places will be made plain, that hills will be made low and valleys will be raised, that life itself, as it were, will be a flat path, and we will not be moved. For God Himself is the one who's at our right hand. Now we, as New Testament Christians, looking back over the work of Christ and understanding the crucifixion and resurrection, know that we have the indwelling Spirit. And the indwelling Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. So our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And because we are children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, we will not be moved. And our heart, therefore, should be glad. And we should rejoice. Jesus told this to His disciples. You may recall that He sent them on a mission trip, two by two, and they came back. And they were thrilled that even the demons obeyed them. And Jesus told them that they should not rejoice in that fact. They should not rejoice because the demons obeyed them. Their joy should come because their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we, with the psalmist, should understand that our heart ought to be glad. And we should know this because our flesh will rest in hope. He's speaking of our flesh when we die. And in the next sentence, he says, "You will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." You and I, because we are saints of God, are holy ones. That's what saint means, holy one. And God, because we have an inheritance that will not pass away, we have an inheritance that is eternal, will not remain in the grave. And therefore, we rest in hope. Our flesh rests in hope. And we will not remain in Sheol. Sheol is the, quote, place of the dead. It is neither in the presence of God, nor is it eternal separation from God. It is the place of the dead. In the Old Testament in particular, it was where they understood the soul to go to await judgment. And Job acknowledges this when he says, "In my flesh I will see God." Martha, when she addressed Jesus in John chapter 11, said that she believed in a resurrection, and her understanding of resurrection was the Old Testament understanding that the souls of men went to Sheol and awaited judgment. The writer of Hebrews tells us that it's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. So the soul, from an Old Testament perspective, goes to the place of the dead. And the psalmist here acknowledges this. He says, "You will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption."
and as the people of God who are set aside and are saints, we will not see corruption. But what we will see is that we'll see the path of life. The path of life is a path which leads to eternity. As Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and he that believeth in me shall never die. And the psalmist is looking forward to that, for he continues and closes the psalm with, in your presence is fullness of joy. In God's presence, there will be nothing but joy. No grief, no sorrow, no tears, no pain, just joy. And the psalmist ends by saying, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. We have this to look forward to, and it begins with trust. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. It's understanding that there's nothing I can do to merit God's favor. My goodness is nothing apart from you. And that we are saints. But this psalm is more than just a psalm concerning the saint and his relationship to God. This psalm is what we call messianic. It refers to Christ. Peter quotes this psalm in Acts 2 when Peter says, David speaks concerning him. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because you will not leave my soul in Sheol, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You shall make me full of joy with your countenance. Christ Jesus is the Holy One of Israel. You and I are holy as saints because Jesus Christ is the Holy One and we are in Christ. And Jesus, when he died, we know that according to Peter, he went and announced something to those who were deceased. And we also know that he bore our sins, but he rose from the dead. And when he rose from the dead, he is transformed, and he is the firstborn from the dead, and therefore the guarantee that you and I will be raised from the dead. Paul also identified this psalm as a prediction of Christ's resurrection in Acts chapter 13. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. The substitutionary atonement and the resurrection are at the heart of the Christian message. Our goodness, our works are not sufficient to commend us to God. We are only commended because we are in Christ. And Christ Jesus is the one who fulfilled the law in all its parts. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. There are five things here that pertain to the gospel. What Jesus did, why he did it,
and the authority. What did he do? He died, he was buried, and he rose again. Why did he do it? Because of our sin. And what is the authority? The scripture. And Psalm 16 is one of those scriptures that is applied to the resurrection and the ministry of Christ by the New Testament writers. And it's through Christ that all believers will eventually be resurrected and enter into a new and perfect world. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, and by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Thus the psalmist ends with verse 11. And that verse, as I may remind you, is, in your presence is fullness of joy, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. My hope for you as God's child is that you enjoy the fellowship of God now with the great anticipation of joy. The writer of Hebrews tells us that for the joy before him, Christ endured the cross and despised the pain. We here on earth as saints, we who are here on earth serving the Lord, who are in Christ, need to understand that we too need to despise the pain and endure the trials for the joy that is to come. I pray that that is your lot and your expectation. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the promises that you have given us because we are holy ones in Christ, that we have been called out of darkness. We have been given light. We who were dead in trespasses and sins are now alive in Christ. We ask that we would live, demonstrating that we are your servants, that we are your people, that we are citizens of heaven, and that we do not belong here. We are but pilgrims and sojourners, that we are looking forward to a transformation when we will be enjoying you for eternity. Forevermore. We thank you that we are your sheep and that you are our good shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would turn to hymn number 454, Trust and Obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can remain when we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Our doxology is hymn number 473. Make me a blessing.
Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing, make me a blessing. Out of my life, may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, O Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today.
Tell the sweet story of Christ and his love. Tell of his power to forgive. Others will trust him if only you prove true every moment you live. Make me a blessing, make me a blessing. Out of my life, may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, O Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today.
Give as 'twas given to you in your need. Love as the Master loved you. Be to the helpless a helper indeed. Unto your mission be true. Make me a blessing, make me a blessing. Out of my life, may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, O Savior, I pray.
blessing to someone today.